A reading from Isaiah chapter 52, verse 13 to 53, verse 12. See, my servant shall prosper. He shall be raised high and greatly exalted. Even as many were amazed at him, so marred were his features, beyond that of mortals, his appearance beyond that of human beings. So shall he startle many nations. Kings shall stand speechless, for those who have not been told shall see, those who have not heard shall ponder it. Who will believe what we have heard? To whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up like a sapling before him, like a shoot from the parched earth. He had no majestic bearing to catch our eye, no beauty to draw us to him. He was spurned and avoided by men, a man of suffering, knowing pain, like one from whom you turn your face, spurned, and we held him in no esteem. Yet it was our pain that he bore, our sufferings he endured. We thought of him as stricken, struck down by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our sins, crushed for our iniquity. He bore the punishment that makes us whole. By his wounds we were healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, all following our own way. But the Lord laid upon him the guilt of us all. Though harshly treated, he submitted and did not open his mouth. Like a lamb led to the slaughter, or a sheep silent before shears, he did not open his mouth. Seized and condemned, he was taken away. Who would have thought any more of his destiny? For he was cut off from the land of the living, struck for the sins of his people. He was given a grave among the wicked, a burial place with evildoers. Though he had done no wrong, nor was deceit found in his mouth. But it was the Lord's will to crush him with pain, by making his life as a reparation for offering. He shall see his offspring, shall lengthen his days, and the Lord's will shall be accomplished through him. Because of his anguish, he shall see the light. Because of his knowledge, he shall be content. My servant, the just one, shall justify the many. Their iniquity he shall bear. Therefore I will give him his portion among the many, and he shall divide the spoils with the mighty. Because he surrendered himself to death, was counted among the transgressors, bore the sins of many, and interceded for the transgressors. And a reading from John chapter 19, beginning at verse 17. So they took Jesus, and carrying the cross himself, he went to the place which is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, with Jesus in the middle. Pilate also had an inscription written and put on the cross. It read, Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews. Now many of the Jews read this inscription because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, do not write the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am the King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his clothes and divided them into four shares, a share for each soldier. They also took his tunic, but the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom, from the top down. So they said to one another, let's not tear it, but cast lots for it to see who it will be, in order that the passage of Scripture might be fulfilled that says, they divided my garments among them, and for my vesture they cast lots. This is what the soldiers did. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Cleopas, and Mary of Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple there whom he loved, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour the disciple took her into his home. After this, aware that everything was now finished, in order that Scripture might be fulfilled, Jesus said, I thirst. There was a vessel filled with common wine, so they put a sponge soaked in wine on a sprig of hyssop and put it up to his mouth. When Jesus had taken the wine, he said, it is finished. And bowing his head, he handed over his spirit. scapegoat and scapegoating. Today, the primary human problem, the core issue that defeats human history, is both revealed and resolved. It is indeed a Good Friday. The central issue at work is the human inclination to kill others in any multitude of ways instead of dying ourselves to our own illusions, pretenses, narcissism, and self-defeating behaviors. Jesus dies for us, not in the sense of in place of, but in solidarity with. The first is merely a heavenly transaction of sorts. The second is a transformation of our very soul and the trajectory of history. Cain has forever been killing Abel. The pattern is revealed from the very first children of Adam and Eve. Yet thank God, and usually unnoticed, even Cain is marked for protection as he wanders east of Eden. Genesis 4, verse 16. That marking became for Christians the sign of the cross, our vaccination against killing, and being killed by our killing. But our vaccination did not always take who we worshipped. The scapegoat usually became scapegoaters too. Always the problem was elsewhere than in ourselves, or merely outside instead of inside. The soul needed one it could gaze upon long enough to know that it was we who were doing the piercing, John 19, verse 37, and we who were being pierced in doing it. Jesus' body is a standing icon of what humanity is doing and what God suffers with, in, and through us. It is an icon of utter divine solidarity with our pain and our problems. It is both an external exposing and an internal holding of the great mystery. It is our central transformative image for the soul. Whenever you see an image of the crucified Jesus, know that it is a clear and central message unveiled. It reveals what humanity is doing to itself and to one another. Don't lessen its meaning by making it merely into a mechanical transaction whereby Jesus pays some price to God or the devil. The only price paid is to the intransient human soul, so it can see. Humanity hates and attacks what it has every good reason to love: itself, God, and the rest of creation. It cannot say with Jesus, "Father, forgive them all. They do not know what they're doing." None of us really knows what we are doing until the outer crucifix becomes the inner revelation of every act of human barbarism, war, torture, starvation, disease, abuse, oppression, injustice, early death, and absurd lives from the blood of Abel the holy, to the blood of Zechariah, whom you killed, as we read in Matthew 23, verse 35. These are the first and last murders in the Jewish Bible of Jesus' time, and Jesus seems to see them as one collective. It is the same and consistent human blindness since the beginning of time. On the cross, the veil between the holy and the unholy is torn from top to bottom. The curtain of his body becomes a living opening, as we read in Hebrews 10, verse 20, through which we can all now walk into the Holy of Holies, which on different levels is both our own soul and the very heart of God. Nothing changed in heaven on Good Friday, but everything potentially changed on earth. Some learned how to see and how to trust the contract between God and humanity. God has always and forever loved what God created. It was good. It was very good. Genesis 1:31. It was we who could not love and see the omnipresent goodness. We were trapped outside the veil. But now, as our second reading says today, we can confidently approach the throne of grace to receive mercy and favor. Hebrews 4, verse 16. The curtain is and always has been wide open, as we see dramatized in the naked body and bleeding heart of Jesus, which we Catholics call the Sacred Heart. It seems we needed an image that shocking, dramatic, and compelling, or we just would not get the point, see ourselves, or trust the great love. And again, from today's readings, Isaiah chapter 53. Yet it was our infirmities that he bore, our sufferings that he endured. He was pierced for our offenses and crushed for our sins. Upon him was the chastisement that makes us whole. Now we do not think of this as an act of suffering, for nearly as much as an act of suffering with. It makes a major difference. And John 19 verse 30. Now it is finished. The lie is over. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. The truth was handed on to history. And our starter prayer for this day. Crucified Jesus, you are not a stranger to my soul. You are not foreign to our history. You have revealed, resolved, and forgiven it all on the cross. I join the whole world today in thanking you. This is indeed a Good Friday. So may the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors.